Okay. Jnana. Knowledge. Matram. Only. Padam. Transcendental. Brahma. Brahman. Parama Atma. Paramatma. Ishvara. The controller. Puman. Super soul. Drishya Adivihi. By philosophical research and other processes. Pritak Bhavahai. According to different processes of understanding. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekaha. Alone. Iyate. Is perceived. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is completely transcendental knowledge. But according to the different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, or as Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Purusha avatar. As you can repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge. But according to the different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, or as Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Purusha Avatar. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word drishya divihi is significant. According to Jiva Goswami, drishya means jnana, philosophical research. By different processes of philosophical research under different concepts, such as the process of jnana yoga, the same Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is understood as impersonal Brahman. Similarly, by the Eightfold Yoga system, he appears as the Paramatma. But in pure Krishna consciousness or knowledge and purity, when one tries to understand the absolute truth, one realizes him as the Supreme Person. The transcendence is realized simply on the basis of knowledge. The words used here, Paramatmeshvara Puman, are all transcendental, and they refer to super soul. Super soul is also described as Purusha. But the word Bhagavan directly refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of six opulences, wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the Personality of Godhead in different spiritual skies. The various descriptions of Paramatma Ishvara and Puman indicate that the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Supreme Godhead, are unlimited. Ultimately, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept bhakti yoga. By executing jnana yoga or dhyana yoga, one has to eventually approach the bhakti yoga platform, and then Paramatma, Ishvara, Bhuman, etc. are all clearly understood. It is recommended in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that whether one is a devotee or fruitive actor or a liberationist, if he is intelligent enough, he should engage himself with all seriousness in the process of devotional service. It is also explained that whatever one desires, which is obtainable by fruitive activities, even if one wants to be elevated to higher planets, can be achieved simply by execution of devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he can bestow any one of them upon the worshipper. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to different thinkers as the Supreme Person or impersonal Brahman or Paramatma. Impersonalists merge into the impersonal Brahman, but that is not achieved by worshiping the impersonal Brahman. If If one takes to devotional service, but at the same time desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord, he can achieve that. If someone desires at all to merge into the existence of the Supreme, he has to execute devotional service. The devotee can see the Supreme Lord face to face, but the jnani, the empiric philosopher, or yogi cannot. They cannot be elevated to the positions of associates of the Lord. There is no evidence in the scriptures stating that by cultivating knowledge or worshiping the impersonal Brahman, one can become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor by executing the yogic principles can one become an associate of the Supreme Personality of the Supreme Godhead. Impersonal Brahman, being formless, is described as adrisha, because the impersonal effulgence of Brahmajyoti covers the face of the Supreme Lord. Some yogis see the four-handed Vishnu sitting within the heart, and therefore, in their case, also the Supreme Lord is invisible. Only for the devotees is the Lord visible. Here the statement drishyadibhi is significant. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is both invisible and visible, there are different features of the Lord. The Paramatma feature and Brahman feature are invisible, but the Bhagavan feature is visible. In the Vishnu Purana, this fact is very nicely explained. The universal form of the Lord and the formless Brahman effulgence of the Lord being invisible are inferior features. The concept of the universal form is material, and the concept of impersonal Brahman is spiritual. But the highest spiritual understanding is the personality of Godhead. Vishnu Purana states, Vishnur Brahma Swarupena Swayameva Vyavastitahi. Brahman's real feature is Vishnu, or the Supreme Brahman is Vishnu. Swayameva, that is his personal feature. The supreme spiritual conception is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yad Gatva Narivartante Tadama Paramam Mama. That specific abode is called Paramam Mama, is the place from which, once one attains it, one does not return to this miserable, conditional life. Every place, every space, and everything belongs to Vishnu, but where he personally lives is Tadama Paramam, his supreme abode. One has to make his destination the supreme abode of the Lord. So, jnana matram param brahma paramatmeshvara puman dushadibi patag bhavair bhagavan eka iyate. So, om gana timaranda sha gananjana shilakaya shakshur miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Okay, it's nice to see a nice crowd here this morning. Thought nobody was going to be here. But anyway, so there's also this other verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti Tattatvedas Tattadha Yad Gyanam Advayam Parameti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Subyutate. The Supreme Personality, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, is known in three different factors: the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And Srila Prabhupada also gives other examples to illustrate this fact. He talks about the Brahman, he talks about the example of the sun. There's the sunshine, which he equates with the Brahman. And then there's the sun, which equates with the Paramatma. And then Bhagavan is the personality of the sun, Vivaswan, who's there controlling the sun. Anyway, so there's many different examples and comparisons and metaphors given to help us understand this fact. So analyzing these three aspects of the Supreme Personality of God, and in addition, Prabhupada also refers to the universal form, the Virat Purush, we can see that one of the aspects actually is not Vishnu Tattva, and the other two are Vishnu Tattva of the three aspects. Of course, the universal form is definitely not Vishnu Tattva. The universal form is an imaginary conception so that one can appreciate that there is something greater than oneself. And in fact, in the Vedic hymns, particularly this hymn called the Purusha Sukta, this is very much emphasized. how the Supreme Lord's arms and legs are everywhere, etc. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, this is mentioned. But as far as these three aspects that are traditionally mentioned, the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, a Brahman is not a Vishnu Tattva. Actually, the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is composed of the Jiva Tattva souls. That is, the Brahman effulgence is actually the Lord's energy. The Lord's energies are threefold, according to the Vishnu Purana also. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Shetra Gyakitata Para Vidyakarma Sanghinyatrati Shakti Ishate. There is the Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta, his internal potency, headed up by Radharani. And then there's Shetra Gyakitata Para, that's us. We are also transcendental, but unfortunately, we are associating with this material energy. And then that's a second energy, Kshetragya. And then, which literally means the knower of the field, Kshetragya. Ya means to know, Kshetra means field. Like Kuru Kshetra means the field of King Kuru. And Dharma Kshetra means the field of Dharma. And Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveti. So, Samaveti. So anyway, so Yutsavaha. So that's the second energy of the Lord, and the third energy is the Vidya Karma Sanganya, known as ignorant activities. These are the three different energies of the Lord. So one of those energies is the Brahman effulgence, that is the Jiva souls who decide to attempt to merge into the existence or the effulgence of the Lord. And so there's so many of them, so many lights, they actually appear to be one light. You know, the little infinitesimal lights, they appear to be one light. And, of course, Prabhupada also speaks about how you can't actually merge into the existence of the Lord, emerge into the effulgence of the Lord. It's just like the green birds in the green trees merging into the trees, or apparently merging into the trees. So that's that Brahman. But the Paramatma is Vishnu Tattva. Paramatma is the one of the Purusha expansions. The Purusha expansion means the Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Shirodakshay Vishnu. So the Paramatma is the third one of that, the Shirodakshay Vishnu. So that is Vishnu Tattva. Although in that particular expansion, he doesn't manifest, let's say, pastimes like we know. His activity or his function as the Paramatma is Matak Smritir Gyanam Aponam, cha, to reside in your heart and to give you remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. That's it. And so he's more or less perceived as your servant rather than you perceiving him as your master. You understand? So that's it. The Paramatma conception is something like that. And actually, sometimes Prabhupada says the yogis, when they meditate on the Paramatma, because the Paramatma is situated in the heart simultaneously with the soul, the individual soul, the yogis sometimes confuse the Paramatma with themselves. They actually look in their hearts, they see this beautiful form, Paramatma, and they think, that's me. And sometimes the yogis even try to merge into the existence of the Paramatma. The Hatha Yogi is trying to merge into the existence of the Paramatma. But they can't do that, obviously. So anyway, so the Paramatma is there. And then finally, Bhagavan. Bhagavan can refer to any of the expansions of the Lord that execute pastimes in the spiritual world or pastimes in the material world. Like you have Bhagavan Nrisinga. Nrisingadev, Prabhupada says that the non-human expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead only manifest within this material world. But still, he executes pastimes in that particular manifestation, so he's considered to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Nrisingadev is considered to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram is considered to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Matsya Kurma. And actually, all the various Vishnu Tattva avatars, and even sometimes these Shaktivesha avatars are put into a similar category, like you have in the Dasha Avatar Shloka of Jayadev Goswami. It's actually the beginning of Gita Govinda. The Gita Govinda deals with very intimate pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. But before Jayadev Goswami goes into that description of the intimate pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, he deals with the ontological position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all of his expansions. That is, Keshavadrita, Nadahari Rupa, Keshavadrita, Shukara Rupa. So he mentions that actually Krishna manifests, the same personality manifests in different manners, different ways, and he gives the 10 basic incarnations. Also in the Brahma Samhita, it's stated, Advaita, Chuta, Nadi, Ananta, Rupa, Madhyam, Purana, Purusham, Naviyovanam, Cha. There's one God, and he manifests in a variety of ways. So, and all of those incarnations actually reside in the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna. So Krishna is considered Bhagavan Swayam, the original personality of Godhead. So, of course, we accept the Shastric version, Ete Changsa Kalakpumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that establishes this. But there's one story that comes to mind that illustrates this, in, let's say, in a more rasika way than this particular philosophical statement, because many of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan actually illustrate philosophical points. In fact, they all illustrate philosophical points. Although they are based on intimate loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotee, there's philosophical deep points that are manifest by those loving exchanges. For example, when Krishna swallowed the dirt, he actually, there's a place, we visited this place when we were in Vrindavan of Braj. It's called Brahmananda Ghat. Brahmananda Ghat. Ghat, of course, is a bathing place along a kund. So there's Brahmananda Kund, Brahmananda Ghat, just so you know the nomenclature. You know, Ghat means where you go swimming, basically. You know, that's like the steps going down in the river. That's called a Ghat. And Kund means lake. Anyway, so there's a Brahmananda Kund, Brahmananda Ghat. So along this, in this particular area, at that time it wasn't known as Brahmananda Ghat, Krishna ate dirt. And Balaram, he sort of told Mother Yashoda about it. And Mother Yashoda said to Krishna, have you eaten dirt? And Krishna said, this Balaram, you know, he just like wants to get even with me. How can you believe him? Look in my mouth if you think I've eaten dirt. Actually, Krishna did eat dirt. And if you go there today, that dirt is actually very sweet tasting. I brought some back with me. I'm not going to let you eat it, but it's actually, they give it out there at the Brahmananda Ghat, and you can actually eat the dirt, and it tastes like sweet balls. Anyway, so, because all Krishna's remnants. So what happened was that she looked in his mouth, and then she saw Brahmananda. Not our Brahmananda, one of Prabhupada's disciples, but she saw, you know, the universes, all the universes, you know, the cosmic creation, even she saw herself in there, and she became overwhelmed. So there's a philosophical point being illustrated. So as far as the point I'm making here in class about Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, there's another interesting story that illustrates that point. Once upon a time, we all know the story about Lord Damodar, right? How Krishna was tied, Dama Udara, tied around the belly with a rope by Mother Yashoda after she attempted to tie him so many times. The rope was always too short, and finally Krishna gave her some mercy, and he allowed her to tie him up. So anyway, so he was tied to the grinding mortar, dragged the grinding mortar. Nalakuvera, Manigriva came out of the trees, the twin Arjuna trees. They got liberated, went back to Godhead. All right, so that's not the story I'm telling, but I'm just giving you a brief synopsis of what happened before. So after that, what happened is that Krishna, he got very upset with Mother Yashoda. He said to Nanda Maharaj, He said, I'm not going near her again. She's abused me. Of course, these are all pastimes. Obviously, Mother Yashoda loves Krishna. She didn't abuse Krishna. But Krishna, as a little boy, you know, just thinking, this Mother Yashoda, you know, she's just like so cruel. You know, imagine if you tied your little child up to a grinding mortar. Even when we went to Braj and we saw the grinding mortar, at least, you know, what was supposed to be the grinding mortar. Anyway, so he said, you know, I'm not going near her again. I don't want anything more to do with Mother Yashoda anymore. And the Nanda Maharaj said, she's your mother. You know, just cool it. Or, you know, be kind to her. And Krishna said, no, you're taking care of me from now on. Just you, not her. This is an interesting pastime. So Krishna was refusing to have anything to do with his mother. Of course, it was a little traumatic for Yashodamayi. So Nanda Maharaj started doing all the service for Krishna in addition to doing all of his, you know, coward king service. So it became real difficult for him. So one of the services he did for Krishna was that every night he would put Krishna to bed. Just like when we were young. Not maybe this didn't happen with all of you, but our mothers used to tuck us in bed. Maybe you don't. Didn't that happen to you? But anyway. But when I was young, you know, I would always say to my mother, please tuck me in bed, you know. And my mother would come and she'd tell me some bedtime story. Because the bedtime stories were usually pretty they were always mundane. Like, you know, once upon a time there was a little boy planted a bean plant and it grew. And it went all the way up to heaven and he climbed a beanstalk. Anyway. Yeah, well, I don't know what story. Preferred a reflection of Ravana, you know. He climbed the beanstalk and he went to heaven. So, or, you know, once upon a time there was... There are two kids who got shoved into an oven by a witch. And they shoved her into an oven, you know, Hansel and Gretel. So I don't know if any of you remember these stories. So anyway, so Krishna wasn't interested in stories like Hansel and Gretel or Goldilocks or Cinderella. Krishna said, you know, tell me stories, spiritual stories, you know, that I've never heard before. So what happened was that Nanda Maharaj, he picked up his Krishna book, not his Krishna book, but his story, it wasn't a Krishna book, but his storybook about the incarnations of God. So he said, he started talking about, once upon a time, there was this personality named Lord Rama. And Lord Rama was banished into the forest by his father because his father was controlled by Kaikeyi. And while he was in the forest, Sita Devi was kidnapped. His wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped. And remember, this is the first time Krishna heard the story. So his wife was kidnapped, and then he was looking with Lakshman for... And then they had to build a bridge across the ocean to Sri Lanka using monkeys. And then they arrived at the other side, and... Then Lord Ram pulled out his bow and arrow and was challenging his Ravana. And then all of a sudden, Krishna jumped up on his bed and he enacted the pastime. You know, he said, I kill you, Ravana. You know, he made a bow with your 10 heads. I'll cut off your 10 heads. And so Krishna was jumping up and down the bed. And Nanda Maharaj, he was thinking, huh? How does he know the story? You know, I never told this story before. Krishna kept jumping, kill you, and then finally killed Ravana. And then Krishna then laid down, all right, tell me another story, Daddy. it's a nice pastime. Tell me another story, Daddy. So Daddy, Nanda Maharaj, began to tell him another story. He said, you know, once upon a time, there was a little boy just like you. His name was Prahlad. And Prahlad had a father, not as nice as me. His name was Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad Maharaj's father was, you know, let's say a child abuser in many ways, because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to chant the names of God, and he was teaching all the schoolmates. He told the whole story, teaching all the schoolmates to chant Hare Krishna. And his father got angrier and angrier and angrier, tried to kill him in different ways, put him under the feet of an elephant, threw him off a cliff, you know, put him in some pit of vipers, put him in a vat of boiling oil, or put him in a fire. You know, he went through the whole thing. Finally, his father said, where do you get your power, Prahlad Maharaj? And he didn't call him Maharaj, obviously. Father's not going to call a kid Maharaj. Prahlad, where do you get your power? And Prahlad said, you know, the same place you get your power, from God. And the father said, you know, where's this stupid God? And Prahlad Maharaj said, Sarvatma, he's everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu said, is he in the pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj said, yeah, he's in the pillar. And then Hiranyakashipu went to get his sword to strike the pillar, and then all of a sudden Krishna, hearing the story, jumps up on his bed and goes, rah! And takes the form of Lord, not the form, but, you know, this literally makes believe he's Lord Narsinghadeva. Rah, kill you. So this little boy is on his bed, and he just, like, rips apart the bed. And the father, and the poor father, you know, Nanda Maharaj is just like, what's happening to my son? My son is actually, you know, maybe he needs to see a therapist or something like that. He has uncontrolled anger. So, anyway, eventually Krishna quieted down. So they went through a whole bunch of stories like that, and each and every one, Krishna actually remembered his previous incarnations in the various forms like that. So that's proof, using a story rather than just a Shastric statement. And this is also in the story is in the works of the Goswamis. The Goswamis have written a lot about these different things. So that's proof Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam, because Krishna is remembering all these different pastimes. Now, if you go into India, especially South India, where they worship Krishna, Lord Narayan, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha, like if you go into Srirangam, they're always chanting Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. They'll tell you that Krishna is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, or Narayan. And we'll tell you that Lord Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. So who's right and who's wrong? Well, we're right. Anyways, because that's what the Shastras say. And then objectively, you can see that even apart from the statements in the Shastras, that Krishna actually exhibits more intimate relationships with his devotees. I mean, we know the four different qualities. I'm not going to go over that now, like playing a flute, you know, intimate pastimes, and unexcelled beauty, and intimate devotees. So Krishna, yeah, this is objectively, you can see that Krishna does more things than, you know, the other incarnations of God, or manifests more intimacy than the other incarnations of God. Even the gopis recognize that. They would criticize Krishna for things he did in other incarnations, like Krishna criticizing Krishna for when Krishna appeared as Lord Rama and Lakshman, for cutting off the ears and nose of Sarpanaka. And the gopis, when they were feeling separation from Krishna, would remember the various pastimes of the Supreme Lord in his various incarnations. Anyway, so we are interested principally in the original Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, although we are also interested in the various incarnations and pastimes he performs in other aspects as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the overall Supreme Personality of Godhead refers to Lord Ram, refers to all these different incarnations. Now, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, but these incarnations where Krishna enacts pastimes are all Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're interested in all of them because they're all Krishna acting in different ways. So if you love someone, you'll love everything they do. although you may have favorite things that they do, that you're attached to, you know, favorite things for you, like his intimate pastimes, but still you love everything and actually appreciate everything that they do. So any questions or comments about any of these things? Yeah.
My question is, like, we were speaking about how, for instance, like the Leela avatars, like Gaudiya Singha Deva, that mm-hmm. they just have their pastime in this material world. So my question is, for instance, like, well, let's say you had someone in South India and they were worshiping him, Gaudiya Singha Deva, and then let's say in our movement, Prabhupada has given us Lord Nrsimha Deva as far as for the protection of our movement.
Yeah.
So for instance, like someone in South India, if they were worshiping Lord Nrsimha Deva like in the mood of awe and reverence,
right.
Would they go to the Vaikuntha planets?
They go to the Vaikuntha planets, yeah.
And then in our movement, we're worshiping Lord Nrsimha Deva, but Prabhupada's given it to us.
Yeah, we go back to Krishna Loka. Now, even as far as going back to Krishna Loka, it depends on how intimate your mood is. Like if you have a Vaidhi mood, you know, ultimately, I'm not saying that we give up Vaidhi Bhakti or anything like that, but then you go to the Mathura aspect of Krishna Loka, Mathura Dwarka aspect of Krishna Loka. And if you have an intimate Raganuga mood, then you go to the Gokul aspect of Krishna Loka. So it actually, even within the worship of Krishna, like your mood determines, first of all, what rasa you have, even if you're in, you know, Gokul, but also determines what aspect, where in Krishna Loka you go. Yeah, so if you're actually in the mood of awe and reverence, worshipping Krishna, or Vaidhi, actually, Vaidhi worshipping Krishna, then you may become one of Krishna's wives in Dwarka. Like that.
Well, I think Rupa Goswami says we should go beyond Vaidhi, but the persons in Vaidhi are also eternally perfect.
Yeah.
That?
Well, eternally perfect. Everybody has their eternal perfection. Those who actually go to Vaikuntha Loka are eternally perfect. I mean, everybody's perfection is actually different. Like Murari Gupta, his perfection was to be Hanuman, worship Krishna in the mood of Hanuman, you know, in the mood of servitude, like that. So that's his perfection. Perfection means that you've reached the understanding of your particular rasa or relationship with Krishna and are absorbed in that. And that may be of various types. But ultimately, while we're performing Vaidhi Bhakti, we should have the objective of coming to the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti if we want to go back to Gokul. Now, it's not that everybody will go back to Gokul. You know, that's not, or we should criticize people, don't go back to Gokul. That's not the point. But while we are doing Vaidhi, if we want to go to Gokul, while we are doing Vaidhi, we should be praying for the spontaneous attraction that the residents of Vrindavan have. And ultimately, you know, at least focus on transcending Vaidhi. When it's time, you know, after, you know, we become nishta at least, or steady in devotional service. There's nishta, and there's ruchi, and then ashakti, and then bhava, and then prema. So after we've gotten rid of the anarthas, we can start talking about that. Right now we concentrate on bhakti, on vaidhi, but the goal should be to come to that platform of Raghunuga. I mean the intermediate goal. The ultimate goal is Krishna prema. All right? If we want to go to Gokul. I mean, some people are just very happy worshiping the Lord Narayan. There's nothing wrong with that. That's pretty ecstatic. It's not that we're going to go to Sri Rangam and just start yelling at everybody. You're on a lower platform than me, you know. You know, we should appreciate, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, we should appreciate all religions, what to speak of, you know, Vedic religions. All religions, they're worshiping the same God. And Prabhupada even said one time, like the followers of Lord Jesus Christ, there's a planet where Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he's not God, he's a Shaktivesh avatar, but at least where he is prominent. So they'll go to that particular planet and be able to associate with Lord Jesus Christ, which is nice. But they have to actually follow him. Jesus Christ said, I mean, this contradicts what many Christians say. Many Christians say you just have to believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. But Jesus Christ said, many will come in my name, but they will not be of me. So that's Jesus Christ's direct statement. So actually, whatever form of the Lord you're worshiping, that will determine what destination you have after this lifetime, if you become spiritually perfect. So if you're worshiping Lord Nrsingadev, to answer your question, then you'll be, because Lord Nrsingadev is in the mood of awe and reverence, then you'll actually go back to the Vaikuntha locus. Yeah. What's that?
Anyone who follows Mahaprabhu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Goloka Vrindavan, there's a neighborhood of Lord Chaitanya and there's a neighborhood of Krishna, in Krishna and Gokul. So the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be in both places simultaneously. That's in the spiritual world. But also there's a Mathura and Dwarka too. So it just depends on your particular mood. We don't have to worry about it too much right now. We should be more worried about material entanglement at this point. You know, it's not one of the things I'm in anxiety about at this particular juncture. My devotionals, I'm more in anxiety about keeping the temple running and things like that. Isn't it? You know, it's not that every night I go to sleep and I think, oh, I'm in anxiety, I might go to Vaikuntha, oh my God, what is going to happen? I'll be stuck there in Vaikuntha. Yeah, it's really, it doesn't bother me at all. Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada.